Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Last night, about this time, I was in the hospital in Nashville, and everything, thank the Lord, everything went well, and I guess they fixed everything that needed fixing and took away everything that needed to be taken away from, and so I'm praising the Lord for it, and I'm glad that I can be back in the house of the Lord. I desire your prayers that you would pray for me in that we try more and more all the time to teach and to be teaching and pleasing the Lord and be a help to not only this church but other churches or other people that are watching.
Amen.
That's my desire this morning is to be a help. And so we want to study some this morning in the book of Acts 6. And I want to read something as you turn in there. In 1 Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy about the widow. And he says, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Amen.
So I want, with this, I want to look at Acts 6 and talk to you just a little bit about what was going on at the church of Jerusalem. And why this request was made, the best I can study and find out, about them having these seven people chosen out, and what happened to some of those people that were chosen. So this morning, in verse 1 of chapter 6, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, very important, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Amen.
So we see this word business, and we look at what is going on with the widows, and some of them were not evidently not being treated like the others, but still, all in all, some of their people were there in that church because that was a large church, but I'm assuming that what I'm understanding here is that they had a nursing home in there, and the widows was not being taken care of, and so it was falling on the apostles to have to go in there and take the clothing to them, take the food to them, receive the clothing and receive stuff that people would give them, and so it put them in a strain. Because, listen, they wanted to do something else. And he says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this morning is the number one thing that the apostles talked about wanting to do. And this is the main thing this morning. It's should be number one in our life, is to search the leadership of the Lord, to pray and fast and seek his leadership. And that's what they wanted to do. And so they asked that there be some men called out and full of good report, that was full of the Holy Spirit. And so they all got together and they called out these seven men. Now he says in verse 5, this request, they said, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmen, and I'm butchering these words, I know, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So we see all of these here were chosen, and they were a good choice according to what was requested of the apostles, to choose out men of good of good understanding and full of the Holy Ghost. So this seven were good men, good children, but the church was so large there in Jerusalem that they had these here, and evidently I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about Stephen's and about Philip, but evidently Stephen had been preaching some, but their job was, they chose them, was to serve tables and to feed those that were in need of help to eat, or make sure that they got enough food, and to take care of them, because they were, a lot of them were widows indeed, and this is what that they were supposed to do. So we see here this morning in this, when in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And so this what they requested was in the will of the Lord. They understood what they needed, and they understood what was number one in their life, and that was to pray and to seek the leadership of the Lord. And so we this morning, as God's people, we need to think upon these things, because, you know, we're a small group here, and sometimes, you know, things kind of overrun us a little bit, and we have more to do than we can get done. But we, as God's people, need to pray like they did and ask the Lord to send us some more help, or, you know, that was what it's all about. And so this morning we want to say that the church here this morning is fabulous, in that, listen, we're covering more ground, we're taking care of more problems, we're covering a lot of things that with this small group that we have. And listen, we should thank the Lord for it, and ask for His blessings, and thank Him for the health and strength that we have, that we can keep these things going. Because, you know, we've got offices in this church here that are just, they're just overdoing themselves. But listen, we're continuing to go on and do these things, and we ought to thank the Lord. In time, when we have time, and we should have plenty of time, and that is to seek the leadership of the Lord and to pray for this church, that it might continue to prosper and to help other people, because that's one of our desires this morning, is to help other people.
Exactly.
And to see what and to understand what they're doing, and for them to understand what we're doing. So here in this, Stephen in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. Now notice, and miracles among the people. Now, so he was healing, he was preaching, he was doing these things, and we don't understand. I mean, we can't go back in Stephen's life, and we don't know, as far as I can tell, who Stephen's father was or anything about this. But we do know this, that somewhere along the line, Stephen had an encounter with the Lord, and he was saved, and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and that he was here as he was chosen to do this work. He was doing a wonderful work of it. And he says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Syrians and Alexandrians, and then of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And so when he was doing his job as a servant, he was also testifying and preaching, and they heard this, and they didn't like it. They didn't go along with it, because had they went along with it, they would have helped him, but they were there just to aggravate and to argue with him. So here in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake.
Amen.
Now he was, and listen to this. Then they stubborn or bribed men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And so they could not speak against him because he was so much more of wisdom through God, and he put them down every time, but they went out here and they hired men to go up and swear that they heard him do these and do these things. But anyway, we'll see what happened. And they stirred up the people and the elders in verse 12, and the scribes, and came upon him and called him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And so they were in the temple there. They thought more of the temple and all. They worshiped the temple. And so they were blaming him. In verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
Amen.
And so, you know, we see here all the things that a Christian that's been saved, what he was doing, and even the expression on his face turned them, and they could not argue with him. And so then, and we will see one more thing. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And of course, we know this morning. Then this opened up the opportunity for Stephen's to preach them a sermon. And he started back with Moses, and he brought them on all the way up, and told them all these things. And so latter part of 8, in verse 8, and I'm sorry, I'll get to you in a minute. Bear with me. They carried Stephen's in verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Mm-hmm. And he had been preaching all of this and telling them how that they were wrong about this, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God.
Amen.
And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I know that it's been brought out and it's been preached and it's been taught so many times. But listen this morning, people. It's such a great thing to know this morning that a person can be so close to God that they can take all the ones that are offending them and put them down, and that they can stand before them and even pray for them.
Amen.
And that they can say, hey, there's a heaven and there's a Jesus and there's a God, and Jesus is standing on the right hand, and warn people of this, because this should have been enough this morning. This should have been enough for every one of them to throw their rocks down and walk off. Mm-hmm. But they did not, and this gnashing of the teeth, listen, they were so mad and so furious that they were popping their teeth and spitting on him and doing all of these things. And so he said here, but he being full of the Holy Ghost in verse 55, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with loud voices and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. and they stoned Stephen's calling upon the calling as he called upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, yes. There's something here too about Saul, and we know from studying God's word. But listen, a lot of this thing here brought in another thing for the Gentiles, and that was Saul. Saul was there, and he heard. I know he heard what was going on, and they even when they got ready to stone him, they laid their coats at his feet, and they got ready to throw those rocks and all. And he was there listening. He saw all of this, and I'm sure that in his lifetime, it went over and over again to him, and helped him to understand what Stephen was saying. Because
Amen.
Stephen prayed for them and asked the Lord not to charge them with that because of them killing him with the rocks and things. And so this is a beautiful picture of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we all should have a desire to be like, and to when our enemies come upon us, when we have a problem with them, listen, the best thing for us to do, by all means, is to pray for them.
Amen.
Because, listen, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to stand and get their rewards, or they're going to get their place of where they're going to stay for the rest of their eternity. And it's horrible to think about people that will be sent to hell to stay there eternally. Because even though they have mistreated you, even though they've done this and even though they've done that, and I know in this flesh it's so easy to say, well, I'll get him back, or I'll do this, or I wouldn't pray for him at all. But listen, that's not the attitude that we should have, because we need to remember where we were at.
Amen.
We need to remember this, people, because God sent his son to die for us. And they did him the same way as his demons. And
Amen.
They did upon him, and they did everything they could. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do." And so this morning, this is one of the people that I wanted to study, just read just a little bit about. But then the other one is Philip. I want you to turn over to Philip's in 8 and verse 5. We see Philip was another one of these, and we see where that Stephen, his life was cut short. And Philip here in verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." Now, the thing of it is here, we see that he was a preacher, but yet he was called to serve tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A person can accept being, I'm thinking that in the eyes of man, that was a lower position. But the thing of it is, in our heart, we want to try to understand that the preaching would have been much better. But he was brought down to the point where that he went in there and helped those people with their meals and all. And so, but here again, he's out preaching. And so I don't know, and I wonder sometimes about these other five that were called. You don't find out anything about them, what they did. And what, but here Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For the unclean spirit, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. Now, this don't sound like that it would be a servant to serve people, but listen, He took this position because they asked him to do it. But I believe that he was, I know that later on he had a church, and he pastored that church for 20 years. But here, we see here there was a certain man called Simon, or Simeon, and before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now, in this I see Stephen and what he had above him, those people there. Here we see Simeon, or Simon, as he is a pretender. He's a Judas. Right. He's one here that is interfering, or going to try to interfere with the preaching of Philip.
Right.
And so he says, and there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And listen now, he was riding these people good, and he was getting what he wanted out of them by trickery and by sorcery. And he says in verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least unto the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So he had him blindfolded, he had him hoodwinked, and he was getting what he wanted, and he was getting all the pats on the back besides this. And to him, in verse 11, they had regards because that of a long time he had bewitched them with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, preaching the same concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simeon himself believed also. Now we have to remember this as we try to study this, the word himself. Now Simeon himself believed. He did not believe in God as his Savior at this time. So, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which they had done. And when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And so here Philip gets a little help. Here he gets a little support. And we're going to see here, this is a minute, how this happened. Who, in verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, Simon, he didn't know anything about this. And so he seen this. Now listen. And in verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now this was a sight to behold, because I'm sure that it was like in the Acts there, when they, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all all heard the same voice and all this. Listen, something like this happened there, and he had never seen anything like this, and it amazed him. And listen, people, he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it, but he didn't want it for the right purpose.
Amen.
And this morning, that's the way with a lot of the world. They want it, but they don't want to pay the right price. They don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to say that God is Lord and Savior. And so they want this, but not at the price of leaving the world. But here, in verse 14, now when the apostles which were Jews heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent unto them Peter and John. I've done read that, but here in 15, for when they were come down, pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then lay they hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Peter got right with him.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, Peter in verse 20 said unto him, thy money perish.
Amen.
With thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And people, that's the same thing that's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
People think that they can buy, buy a home in heaven, they can buy the love of God, they can buy whatever they want to and be what they want to be out here in the world. But listen, it don't happen that way.
Amen.
And Peter told him that, and listen to what he says here. Thou hast neither, in verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter.
Amen.
For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Then answered Simeon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many of the villages of Samaria.
Amen.
So we don't see the whatever happened to this man, whether or not he don't give his testimony. All he does do is give that he was in the gall of bitterness.
Right.
And so we don't know. But the thing of it is, this was some of Philip's preaching, and I want you to turn with me, if you would, now to Acts 21, and we will read just a little bit more here, and we'll go. That's in Acts 21, verse 8. This is talking about Paul as he was on one of his journeys, and as he had finished this, he said in verse 8, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the home of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So he's still much alive, and this is Paul's journey. So Paul had got older, and so what I studied shows that this was it had been about 20 years that he had been preaching, and he says, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus, Agabus, and he was going to tell Paul what was the things that he was would happen to him when he went back to Jerusalem. And he used a girdle to tie his hands and show that Paul would be bound and would die there. But anyway, these are some of the things that maybe you could take some of it and run reference on it, or study from another. I don't know if there's other books and all that shows any more about Philip or about anything, or that Stephen's daddy's name was, or where he originated. But anyway, I thought it was interesting to get as much as I could out of this, and to encourage the church to keep on keeping on. And you know, they were doing a good work there, and as they obeyed God, it said that they grew with leaps and bounds, and they got all the help that they needed. So I wanted to do this to encourage the church also. So thank the Lord for the church. Thank the Lord for all it's doing, and just keep on keeping on.
Amen.
That's our goal in life, is just to serve the Lord. Thank you all so much.
Amen.